We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Are you ready for the word? Everybody say kindness. So we're going to talk about kindness today. I've never, ever heard anybody preach a single sermon on the word kindness. And actually, I was praying about what to share. And actually, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I've got this really good thought with all these other additions to that. And the Lord said, do you want to preach what you want to preach, or do you want to preach what I'm telling you to preach? And I really don't like it when the Lord does that. You know what I mean? Because He's right. So are you ready for it? Let's all stand to our feet. Let's welcome our Seaboard Road campus as well. Everybody, come on, welcome all the kids as they head out to Beach Kids, and also our middle school are heading out as well. Give them a big hand. We love all the kids. We love all the musicians and singers. And you know, we always acknowledge them, but we got to acknowledge all of our sound and media crew. They're amazing. They're not seen. But I promise you, without them, we wouldn't be doing church. So we love you guys, especially the people underneath, behind the wall that we can't see. It's because they sort of lack beauty, so we hide them. How many know that wasn't very kind? It is really good to see Bob Jones in church today, out of hospital. I went to visit him last Monday, and he looked at me and he goes, oh God, I must be dying if you're here. And to which, you know, he went to hospital because he went to the gym and had just a moment in the gym where he literally got some amnesia and ended up in hospital as a result of it. And I said, Bob, you don't know, man. You don't remember. But you made the biggest commitment to legacy, and I need you to live, man. I thought that was funny myself. And it's so good to see you, Bob. It really is. You ready to pray? Father, as we come around your word today, I thank you that there is life, joy, and peace in your house. And I thank you, Lord, for the life that is in your word. And I ask you, God, that let us not just hear a word, but let this word be implanted into our lives. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn to someone next to you, say something kind as you're being seated. Thank you, singers, musicians. Something kind. So I told you, I kind of had this moment where I kind of struggled with this message, because I actually had this thought about what I want to do and where I felt like I want to take this. And just this morning in my devotional, just, you know, in the Word, the Lord quickened a scripture to me that I want to show it to you. Have a look at this. I think it's Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Now, watch this. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, as it is a safeguard for you. So Paul says, I got no problem repeating myself. Actually, I need to say this again, because I've said it, but it's a safeguard if I keep reminding you of a truth. Are you hearing me? So for those who know me, know I've preached a message. It's probably one of my earlier, more well-known leadership messages on futile and fertile thinking. I probably have preached it several times over the course of 20 years at Wave Church as a means of a safeguard and as a reminder. And I actually want to actually just launch off of that and go into this thought about where this scripture finishes up. So come with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, so this I tell you and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In other words, don't be like the world in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to every sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Another translation says, with a continual lust for even more, having lost all sensitivity. And then it goes on. And actually, I thought, well, before we go any further, let's remember now what the word futile means. There's a few different definitions, but these are the most repeated. Vain. The Bible says that actually, if we are thinking futile thoughts, that they are vain. In other words, they're all about us. And Paul says, don't be like the Gentiles. Don't be like the world. Don't make everything about you. Another meaning is valueless. That thought has no value. There's another word, I like this one, is unimportant. It's like, I remember the time this guy came to me, he says, "Pastor, I'm leaving the church." And I said, "Why? What's up, man?" He goes, "Well, every Sunday you preach the word and you give an altar call and people give their life to Jesus." And he goes, "And you get them to say this sinner's prayer, but you ask everybody to pray the prayer." And I said, "Yep, that's right." I said, "Now, why are you leaving?" He goes, "I don't need to say the sinner's prayer. I'm already saved." And I said, "You're leaving a church that people are getting saved in because you don't like saying the sinner's prayer." And I thought, that is the most unimportant, vain, trivial, unsuccessful thought I can ever think of. And so it's amazing because Paul says, stop being like that. Don't think those thoughts are trivial. And so the Bible says that this thinking process will do a few things to us. Number one, it'll create a darkening in your understanding. You're no longer living in the light of God's word. You've got your own understanding, but it's dark. Another one is you're separated from the life of God. You know, in other words, you know, you can be in a church where people are getting saved and you're upset that people are getting saved because you're being asked to say the sinner's prayer with the people who are getting saved. How many know that's a separation of the life of God right there? That the main thing why Jesus came is to see people come to know him. And now when that's happening, they're upset. It was never about you. Amen. It's like this one person said, "I missed church for 6 weeks to see who would miss me, and nobody missed me." That might mean you might need some closer friends. Amen. And so, you know, the Bible says it is actually futile thinking that darkens our understanding, separates us from the life of God. We'll often think it's somebody or something or the church or the pastor or a leader. But the Bible says it's a futile thought that'll separate you from the life of God. And then it goes on and says it produces ignorance. And then it says a hardening of your heart. I would have thought it would have been what somebody did to me that caused my heart to get hard. But the Bible doesn't say it's about what others do. The Bible says if we have futile thinking, it will create a hardening of your heart. And it's not what others did. It's your thinking that got you there. I think that's very challenging. Then it says a loss of sensitivity. In other words, there where you used to have a conscience, you no longer have a conscience. Just this week, I had the privilege of being with Pastor Rick Goldman, a very dear friend of mine, celebrating his 75th birthday. And afterwards, I was back where we were staying in a hotel, and I met a pastor, and I just had probably coffee with him for maybe 20 minutes or half an hour. And I sat there, and this pastor must have dropped the F-bomb 20 times. And I thought, okay, you are supposed to be a man of God. And I'm thinking, if anybody has lost sensitivity, you know, where maybe, I mean, like, I get the world talking like that, and I certainly don't get Christians talking like that. But I'll never understand a pastor talking like that. Anybody say amen? And then it goes on and says, and it's actually futile thinking. It's not what others are doing. It's all to do with us thinking unimportant, vain, trivial, unsuccessful thoughts. Can anybody say amen? And then it says, not only is there a loss of sensitivity, but the Bible says you have a seared conscience. You no longer have a conscience in that area of your life. And then it says it gets worse, that you've got a lust for more of this kind of stuff in your life. And all that came not from the devil, not from other people, your thinking, my thinking. And then look what it goes on and says. It says, you, whoever, verse 20, that's not the way that you learned. When you were heard about Jesus, you were taught. Everybody say taught. That according to the truth that you were taught to put off the former way of life. And look at verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak the truth to his neighbor. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. And anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Can somebody say amen to that? Sometimes I wish politicians would read their Bible. No, just their Bible, that's all. Just their Bible, that's all I'm saying. Just read the Bible, okay? And it says, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, unless, of course, they can't, then we need to help them, that they may have something to share with those who are in need. Doesn't matter what your need is, there's somebody more needy than you. And you don't make life all about your need, you make your life about helping others who are in need. And it's amazing how your needs get met when you take care of the needs of others. And don't let any unwholesome communication come out of your mouth, but that which is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Praise the Lord. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that this verse, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, is connected to our speech? I could just picture the Holy Spirit going, oh. You know what I mean? When we say things that are rumor and gossip and, do you know what I mean? Negative. I can just imagine the Holy Spirit going, oh. Grieve the Holy Spirit, okay? It says, don't let any unwholesome communication except that which is beneficial to others. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God where you were sealed in the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. So here's what fertile thinking is. Fertile thinking or fertile thinking is, number one, you're teachable. You with me here? You haven't arrived at the truth. I sure haven't. I've actually put myself on a whole new mission of being teachable. I want to make sure that I haven't learned everything there is to learn about pastoring you. I haven't arrived at all truth yet. I want to make sure that I'm teachable. Matter of fact, it was actually my son Josh that came to me and said, you know, I really feel like, he runs our Great Neck campus. He came to me and says, I really feel like we should make a shift on our Sunday night services, and we should actually do once a month Sunday night service. And I thought, well, I've given him the leadership of this campus, and I need to give him room to move. You hearing me? It was a teachable moment. I prayed about it, felt a peace about it, felt like the reason for doing it was all the right things, of which tonight is the very first Sunday night of the mix. Amen. And I actually want to be more intentional about engaging in community and building relationships. So to me, it's like, I'm not done yet. I mean, we're trying to figure out, how can we do church even better? The most dangerous thing is to say to yourself, I don't know how to do it any better. I don't know how to be a better husband. I don't know how to be a better business owner. Let me tell you something. There's a lot more we can learn if we're teachable, in Jesus' name. Amen? And then it says, you got to be real. You speak the truth. You got to have control over your emotions. In your anger, do not sin. It's not a sin to be angry. Amen? And we're talking about kindness here in just a moment, but it's not a sin to be angry. Just don't let your anger turn into sin. And then it goes on and says, don't let the sun go down while you're angry. In other words, you've got to be willing to resolve conflict. And then you don't give the devil an inch. Don't give him any room in your life whatsoever. The Holy Spirit's been on me about that one. And just all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Amen. We're free in Christ. But just because we're free in Christ, we got to be so careful that we don't just use our liberty. Amen. So don't give the devil a foothold. And then I love this one. It says, let him who stole steal no more. Do you know a fertile thinker is not a parasite? It's not attaching itself to something else that actually gets all of its life source from something from somewhere else. You actually are actually creating. We got our own faith. We're not living off somebody else's faith. Amen. We're not praying for some fat cat rich person to come along and pay off our mortgage. We're believing God that we're going to live a blessed life. And through the principles of generosity, we're going to see ourselves to be blessed, and we will be a blessing to others. It's better to give than it is to receive. Come on, somebody say amen. And then I love this. It says, we're to be generous. Amen. We're to be wholesome in our speech. And we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 32, though. I love this verse. It says, look at verse 32 if we have it. Be kind and compassionate to one another. It says, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Be kind and compassionate. I was thinking about that. Do you realize kindness is actually opens the door to your blessings? Did you know that actually one of the greatest ways in which you can live a blessed life is just to be kind? That actually, if you want to see the blessing of God in and over your life, you've got to practice kindness. And it's not, I mean, you hear these things like, if you hear these random acts of kindness, that's nice, isn't it? But I don't want kindness to be random. I want kindness to be intentional. I want kindness to be something. I mean, of the many things that could be said about my life, and I know I'm a strong leader, and I make no apology for being a strong leader. And sometimes leaders got to make decisions that not everybody always understands. You with me here? And there's always, but I actually do pray that in it all, through it all, people know that I'm motivated and I'm kind. I don't want to be considered somebody who's just mean and insensitive, that there is a genuine kindness in the way in which I live my life. And I pray for all of us, we set that as a major goal for our lives. Amen. So look at Genesis 24, verse 14. And here is now a dad looking for a woman. This is back in the day of arranged marriages, so it's not the context, dad, you don't go picking your son's wife today. Oh, it got very quiet, didn't it? Okay. I mean, you can have a say, but the only influence I've ever had over my two sons is what they gave me. You with me here? And so here, and it says, and so may it be when I say to a woman, a young woman, let down your jar that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll water your camels as well. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know you have shown kindness to my master. Did you realize that that woman had no idea she was being set up to be blessed beyond words? And what caused her to be the wife of Isaac was not necessarily in here any mention of beauty. The only qualification that's mentioned here was young. But as this person went looking for a wife for Isaac, the measurement was if she's kind. But don't give her the measurement of kindness. Give her the opportunity to show it. And if she shows it, she's the one. So, excuse me, woman, would you please give me a drink? And if she says, not only will I give you a drink, but I'll water your camels too. Now, if you know anything about watering camels, that's a whole half-day process. And that is going above and beyond anything that was asked that was reasonable. And that act of kindness set her up to be the wife of Isaac. And she lived a blessed life, but it was something that came out of her. So I'm just saying, there's some tremendous blessings in being kind. You just don't know what doors will open for you by just being kind. Some people see kindness as almost a weakness, that somehow you're cowing down, that you're, you know, that you're less of a person, that, you know, it's like, you know, it's only the tough that make it, survival of the fittest. But the Bible tells us that actually it is kindness that'll open supernatural doors of blessing in Jesus' name. Give a Lord a hand if you receive it. So the word kind literally means, listen to this, it means to furnish what is needed, that which is profitable. It's seen often in philanthropy. And by the way, everybody who's committed to legacy, that is an act of kindness. Amen. Forbearance. The opposite of it is severity or harshness or a cutting short or a callousness. And so another meaning of it is fairness. It's moderation. It's equity. It's justice. And it's meekness. I wonder, how intentional are we about being kind? I wrote down a few thoughts. You ready for it? Here we go. Number one, kindness is something that every person should set as their goal on how to live. Now, I know we got financial goals. I know we got health goals. I hope if you have a business, you've got business goals. Bottom line, turnover. You with me here? Sales. Whatever you do, you got goals. I wonder how many people have set it out in their goals of how can I show kindness? And how can I measure my kindness throughout the course of a day, a week, a month, and out the course of my life as I would measure anything that is important to me? Amen. 2 Samuel 9 verse 1. David asked, is there still someone left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And David found out that Jonathan had a son whose name was Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, actually the Bible says when he was a little baby, was picked up in a hurry because they heard that David had become king and they were worried that this king would wipe out anyone in the lineage of Jonathan and his father, King Saul, because that's what kings were supposed to do, to eliminate any legitimate claim to the throne. But David's not that kind of king. And David goes, is there anybody I can show kindness to? And this poor little baby boy, when he was picked up and they were running out of the house so quick to flee from a king that they did not know was not intending to kill them, this little baby boy had both its legs broken and deformed and unable to walk from that day forwards. Now this is a grown man. And Mephibosheth finds out that David's looking for him and he's still living under the fear that David, when he gets him, is going to kill him. But no, David's looking to show kindness Is there anybody left in Saul's house, in Jonathan's house? Who? And I'm just saying, David had a goal to show kindness. And I'm wondering how many of us have it in our list of goals to show kindness. And how do we measure that? What does that look like? Amen. Number two, here's the next one. Kindness is something we often learn in childhood. Either we learn it or we don't learn it, and both have consequences. If it's not something that you were taught and exampled at a young age, the Bible says, bring up a child in the way that they shall go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. But I've discovered the opposite is also true. Bring up a child in the way that they should not go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You bring up a child with the idea that church is negotiable, and then when they get to be a certain point in time and age in life, when they start making their own decisions, church will be negotiable for them. Bring up a child the way that they should not go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. But it all had to do with how we brought that child up. I mean, I love my kids. I love them, and I love my grandchildren. And right now, Lennon, who's about 18 months of old, we're trying to teach her kindness, because if Lennon doesn't get away, she's in the biting phase. And I remember one time I had a hold of her, and she wanted to get down, and I was just trying to talk to her, and she was trying to get down, and finally she got so frustrated, she bit my nose. She's a biter, this little girl. Now, Jax is the sweetest, kindest little boy in all the world. Jax doesn't know how to retaliate to that. And so Jax has been bitten many times by his baby sister. So we're trying to teach Lennon kindness. Praise the Lord. She's like a grandmother. That's all I'm saying. Let me know that wasn't kind either. Kindness is something we often learn from our childhood. Let me just say this. If that is not in your family origin, you will need to be more intentional. You'll need to hold yourself to a higher standard if that's not in your family origin. If that was something that wasn't exampled, you'll need to be more focused on this thought than anyone else in the room. Can anybody say amen to that? Okay, number three, kindness is not always easy. Isn't that true? In some circumstances, it's really hard. But it will always show you who the bigger person is. It will always reveal the bigger person. When you do one, the Bible says God's given us a ministry of reconciliation. And so to me, it's not always easy in every situation. Amen. But I just want to say to you, it shows who the bigger person is. I just thought that was good. Number four, a lack of kindness to me is shocking in today's social media world. I cannot believe the things that people can say about other people on Facebook. The way in which we'll call each other out on Instagram, which is Instasham, when we talk like that. Or on Twitter, the Twitter litter. The way in which we pull people down and criticize people that we don't even know. And we've never met them and never had a conversation with them. Yet we have judged them and called them out on social media. And sometimes I'm shocked as a pastor when I look at the way some Christians talk about other people on social media. I'm like, you've never shown me that side of you. I wonder if we put, just a thought, I wonder if we put a filter on our social media of kindness. How many things we wouldn't say? Sometimes one of the best ways to be kind is to say nothing. Amen. Sometimes the best way to be kind is to say nothing. All right, very quiet. We got a few claps. I had Jordan stand up. That's a good thing. In the first service, Jordan's phone rang right in the middle of that point. All right, number five. Kindness is a key to our sense of happiness. Look at Proverbs 11. And I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. It says, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. The only person you're hurting by not being kind is you. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't understand why people, I just seem to meet all these people who are just not very nice. It's probably saying a whole lot more of you than it is about everybody else. Because whatever you sow, you shall reap in Jesus' name. Amen? But the Bible says the one who is kind benefits himself. I mean, if we're talking about what's of benefit to us, and the Bible has no problem talking about what is benefit to us. So long as we don't make life all about us, it's just smart to be kind. It'll be of benefit to you. It'll be to your advantage. It's setting you up for blessing. Amen? But if you are cruel, all you're doing is hurting yourself. Listen, kindness creates a win-win situation. In a day where it's dog eat dog and climb a corporate ladder and, you know, how do you get close to people? And I've seen people do this. Oh, I've seen it in the church world. They use somebody as a friendship to get close to somebody else. And when they get close to the other person, that friendship is disposable. And I'm thinking to myself, God, don't let us be like that. Let us not be enamored with that. Let's create win-win situations. Amen. It's not win, I win, you have to lose. It's like, can we all just get a win out of this? How can I set it up where I can win and you can win? Kindness creates those situations. Kindness helps others and helps us feel better about ourselves. Amen. It helps others by being kind, and it helps you to feel better about yourself. Everyone, I want you to hear this one. Everyone can have a bad day. Who's ever had a bad day on the kindness measurement? Like, you just went, okay, that just was not kind. Who's ever been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, okay? We're all guilty of getting frustrated and angry, aren't we? The Bible says there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to be angry. Amen. But look what Romans chapter 2 says. Or do you think that because he's such a nice God, he'll let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. Did you hear that? In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. I love that. God is kind, but he's not soft. I remember when we were raising our kids. Of course, we're done raising them now. They've got their own kids and their own families. But I remember sometimes I'd say, listen, I love you no matter what you do, but I want other people to love you as well. So I'm going to have to discipline you. The Bible puts it this way. The Lord chastises those whom he loves. Can I give you the Steve Kelly, the Stephen Gerard Patrick Gregory translation? This is about as close as I'll ever come to cussing. You ready for this? Those whom the Lord loves, he beats the hell out of. He will get the hell out of you. Because if he loves you, he's going to chastise you. God is kind, but he's not soft. He's not a pushover. Amen. And if you love your kids, you're going to discipline them. Amen. Number 9, I got to keep moving. Kindness includes, this one's big. If you haven't written anything down, write this down. Kindness includes being kind to yourself. Being kind to yourself. Because I just want to say to you, you know, I say this to pastors. When pastors come to me and they preach love and they preach forgiveness and they preach hope and faith and restoration and they help people through some of the darkest moments of their life and some of the confessions that people bear to a pastor, and they tell them, look, you're forgiven, the Lord loves you. And I go, all that stuff we preach for others, it's for you too. It's for you, Pastor. There's forgiveness for you. Be kind to yourself. Kindness starts with being kind to yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. There's got to be some days when you can just look in the mirror and say, Steve Kelly, you're a good man. You're a good dad. There's grace for you. There's hope for you. Anybody can have a bad day, where you wish you didn't say something, you wish you didn't do something, but there's kindness for you as well. It starts with you in Jesus' name. Amen? Because how you judge yourself will really determine how you treat others. Amen? Kindness is telling the truth in a gentle way. Amen. Number 11, kindness is being able to wholeheartedly rejoice in someone else's success and blessing. That's evidence of kindness. When you hear somebody got a new car and you don't go, oh, somebody got a new home, and you go, oh, and it makes you mad, it makes you jealous. Kindness is when you're able to rejoice in other people's blessing and successes. One of the greatest goals I had as a parent was to teach all three of my kids that I'm not doing this if I gave him something, I have to give everybody something. If you are unable to cope with something I do for one of you, and the other two are going to be, now I'm not setting them up to test this, but I'm not allowing them to manipulate that. Because part of growth is sometimes someone's going to get something they didn't deserve. And you might think you're more deserving of it. If you can't handle that, you're not ready for God to give you what you're believing for. Are you hearing me? And sometimes in church life, you hear about somebody who gets a pay rise. I forget the name of the basketball player, but he had an $18 million contract, and he found out his friend on the same team got a $20 million contract, yet he'd already signed to the $18 million contract, signed on it, gave his word, I'll play for this team for $18 million a year. And so he found out that his friend got $20 million, and he actually wanted to go back on his contract. And they said, on the media, they said, hey, listen, what are you doing, man? You signed a contract. And he goes, listen, I'm just trying to feed my family. How does someone feed a family on $18 million a year? I sure as heck would like to know how to try to give that a shot. See, he was unable to rejoice with the son of the person, which tells me this man is not even ready to handle what he has got. Somebody say amen. Somebody say preach, preacher. Number 12, I got to finish, my time's up. Kindness, listen to this, will strengthen your relationships. Think about it. It'll strengthen your relationships in your marriage. When you're kind, your marriage is better. I mean, it's a revelation to some people. Wow. Okay, if I'm kind to my wife, it will be a better marriage. If I am not kind to her, it will not be a better marriage. Not only will it not be a good marriage, it's a bad example for the children. Amen. And there's times when I don't know, I feel like I'm in a parenting mode all of a sudden. But there's times, I remember Josh or Alyssa or Sam, any one of them, if they were ever rude to their mother, I used to come here, we need to talk. Remember this, Josh? We had several of these talks with all the kids. And I said, Josh, you don't understand something. See that girl over there? Your mother? See, I knew her before you were born. And you're going to grow up and you're going to get married and you're going to leave, but I'm with her for the rest of my life. That's my girlfriend. You ever talk to her like that again, I will knock your block off. You will not speak to her. But I cannot be teaching him to do that if I'm not showing kindness. Somebody once said, stop preaching. I can't hear what you're saying through seeing what you are. Some of you will get that later, okay? Okay, kindness goes better in your relationships at work. If you're a person who's kind, you'll have better working relationships. In life, if you practice kindness, you will have better working relationships. Amen? I remember just recently I was down at the Harley-Davidson store, which is the will of God. You are always in the will of God to be at the Harley-Davidson store, unless it's the bikini bike wash. I didn't know they had such things. And I was down there one time, and there's all these girls, and I saw more cotton on a Band-Aid. And they came running up to me and said, would you please be the judge of the bikini bike wash? I'm not going to be the judge of that. For so many reasons, but they don't even know who I am. But the people in the Harley store did, and they're all laughing their head off. Yeah, Steve, go on. I can just picture it, me standing there with all these girls with bikinis, posting it on social media. And I was like, no. And they said, why not? I have no good answer that they'll understand. So I said, what can I say that's kind that gets me out of this? And I said, you're all too beautiful. I wouldn't know who to choose. Do you know what they said? That makes us like you even more. I go inside the Harley store, and there's a girl working behind the counter, and she came up to me, and she goes, I need you to know, you don't know me. And she started crying. She goes, you have no idea how much you saved my son. My son was in so much trouble and doing all the wrong crowd. She went to Wave Church, to your youth group, and she goes, I watch you on TV. And she goes, and sometimes I've seen the things the media have said about you. And I just want you to know, I'm eternally grateful for you and to Wave Church. And I just want to tell you something. Kindness will just open up. And life is better when we show that in Jesus. You're not a lesser person. You're more than. Somebody give the Lord a hand. It can be as simple as a smile. It can be as simple as opening a car door. It can be as simple as giving a compliment. It can be as easy as sending an email or a text. It could be doing something like donating some slightly used clothes, mowing somebody else's lawn. But where it really is manifested is if your eyes are open to the needs of others. Just recently, I was in Jason Swango's new office building. He opened a new facility, much larger space. He's got a law firm in town center. And I was rejoicing with Jason as he moved into this new facility. And I'm walking around and I see this guy all tatted up. And I said to Jason, who's that? And I think I've got the name right. I think his name is Jeremy. And he goes, oh, that's Jeremy. Doesn't matter what his name is. It's just he's all inked up. And I said, oh, what's the story there? And Jason told me that this guy runs a nonprofit here in Hampton Roads called 99 to 1. It's like a homeless ministry that he arrives in the area and has these trucks and trailers with showers in them and allows all these homeless people to just clean themselves up and has, I think, hair cutters and just to help bring some dignity back to these homeless people. And I felt the Holy Spirit say he has a financial need. So I said, Jeremy, tell me, you got any challenges right now? And he goes, well, I've got three trucks down. I got all sorts of, and I said, do you have a repair bill? And he goes, yeah, it's $10,000. And I said, Jeremy, I want you to know that Wave Legacy will write a check for $5,000. Just kindness. It wasn't me. It was you. It was you. You trusted us with the money that you commit. And what a difference we can make. But you know the really cool part of that story? Is I actually felt like the Holy Spirit. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit say he has a need. I wasn't just there in the moment just rejoicing with Jason and his business, although I was doing that. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And then the really cool part of that story is Jason turned around and says, hey, Jeremy, that other $5,000 to make the $10,000, I'll write that check. He started crying. He goes, I can't believe it. It's not hard. It's not hard if you're open and you're not just making life all about yourself. My time is up. Give the Lord a hand if you receive the word. I didn't quote this verse, but it's one of my favorite verses, and I want everybody online just be listening to me for a moment. It says, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Listen to me now. Listen. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repent. I didn't need someone to tell me what a bad person I was, how disobedient. I already knew my stuff. And you were never going to get me to come to a faith in Christ by telling me what was wrong with me. You didn't know everything. But I met Jesus and he knew everything. And yet he still loved me. And I want to say to you today, you know, for someone here today, and actually I think it's more than one, I believe the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody who's watching right now on our military. And I don't know where you are, but you're not in the United States. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. And this is the thought. To me, it's a bit like the prodigal son. You think about he had it all. He had the life, living with dad. Had family, had a brother, had a mother, had a father. Dad was successful, living a blessed life. And then one day he says, see, you wouldn't want to be ya. I'm out of here. Exit stage left. Snagglepuss. I'm gone. And he goes out and spends all the money that the father had given him as inheritance. He was in the house and he premeditatively made a decision to get out of the house. And then the Bible says he just came to his senses one day and realized, I'm a fool. No one told him that. But he remembered how kind his father was to the servants. And now he's living a life that he would desire to just be a servant in his father's house if he can just get back to his father's house, because his own decisions and his own life has really left him in pig slop. And he goes back to the dad and he says, Dad, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And he says, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just make me one of your servants. But I love the father, because this is what God does for anyone who once knew God but moved away. He throws a robe over his filthy, stinking clothes. It's the robe of righteousness. It's the robe of grace. It's the robe of forgiveness that covers your dirt and your shame and your smell. And he says, you were lost, but now you're found. He puts a ring on his finger which says, you're not a servant, you're my son. You were lost, but now you're found. And I'm talking to someone here today. It's the kindness of God. You don't need a preacher telling you how bad you are. We're all bad. We're all lost. We all smell. We're all dirty, but we're cleansed and we're forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Somebody needs to know it today. Somebody needs to hear it. It's the kindness of God. Would you please be seated? I just want to pray for you. As I close this part of the service, if you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I've never known that God's kind. Oh, I've met some street preachers that'll tell you you're going to hell. Are you hearing me? I've met some unkind Christians. And you know what my attitude is to that as well? They're preaching Jesus and maybe God can use it. That's not the Jesus I know. Jesus I know loves you. He looks past your worst, and by looking past your worst, he brings out your best. He knows it all. He sees it all. Don't get me wrong. But he looks past it. Says there's hope for you. There's grace for you. And I want to pray for you this morning. Everybody online, I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. It's the kindness of God. No one's here condemning you. No one's here shaming you. We're just here saying, come on, Jesus loves you. And if you want to say, Steve, pray for me, I do not know him as you speak of. Steve, pray for me, that military person, wherever you are. Pray for me. I was walking with God. I was a son in his house. But I premeditatively and consciously tried to make my own decisions, and it's got me all messed up. I want to say, come on home. We're celebrating for you and with you in Jesus' name. All over this building, I just want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I need to get right with God. I need to come back to God. Steve, pray for me. I do not know him as you speak of. I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. In a moment, we'll close our eyes. We'll bow our heads. When we do that, if you say, Steve, you're talking to me, just take your hand and lift it up nice and high. High enough and long enough for me to see it, just so I know who I'm praying for, so I can include you in a prayer that you might meet Jesus. Are you ready, church? Come on, let's close our eyes. And if that's you, and I'm talking to you, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, coming home to him, just lift your hand right now. Lift it all over the building. That's it. God bless you. 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 Keep it up. Keep it up. I need to see that hand. I need to see it. I'm looking all over the auditorium. Come on, if you lifted your hand, keep it up there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, hands are being raised. God bless you. God bless you, sir. That's wonderful. God bless you. I think we ought to shout every time somebody puts their hand up. God bless you. I saw you, man. Come on, let's all pray this prayer, everybody out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your mercy. And I ask you to come into my life. I thank you that you've already forgiven me. I thank you right now. I am a Christian. I have a new start with you. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your mercy. I believe in my heart. You now live in me. I am a Christian. My sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give a Lord a hand if you receive. Come on, come on. If ever there's praise, if ever there's excitement. I mean, I don't know why you came to church this morning, but that's why I came. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.